Welcome to the My Amazon Guy podcast. This is your host, Stephen Pope, and I'm the founder of My Amazon Guy. In today's podcast, we're going to bring a guest on from GS1 who is going to answer any questions from the audience today as it relates to barcodes, UPC codes, GS1 codes, everything that you may need to help with your Amazon FBA business. And so really excited to bring him on. So I'm going to add in Michelle. Thank you for coming on the My Amazon Guy podcast. How do you say your last name, by the way?
Michelle Covey.
Covey. All right. So Michelle Covey with GS1. And as I understand it, you're the vice president of partnerships at GS1 and a qualified GS1 expert that can answer all kinds of questions today. Is that all accurate?
I sure hope so. Yes, I am.
Sounds good. Well, before we dive into straight up Q&A with our audience today, want to give you a chance to tell us a little bit about what GS1 is. So imagine somebody's never heard of GS1. What do they need to know?
So thank you, first of all. Thank you for having me today. GS1 is actually a global standards organization. We manage, most people know us for the barcode. So we manage the standards for how brands can identify their products for basically retail trade. So that UPC barcode that you see on your products at the grocery store that go beep at the checkout stand, we manage the standards behind that. There are many other business-to-business standards that we manage, but that is what we're most widely known for.
Very cool. So why would somebody need a barcode? What does that give them value to?
So the number that is associated to that barcode helps brands uniquely identify their product. So think of it as kind of like a license plate or a social security number associated to that product. So that particular number, that GTIN, which we call as a global trade item number that's encoded into that barcode, that that number helps brands associate that their brand name, their company name, is associated to that product. So it's uniquely identified globally. So if I sell my product in the US or if I sell it overseas in Asia or in Latin America, it could be recognized locally that that particular product is associated to my brand. So it is a global standard and it's recognized everywhere.
Well, perfect. So the codes that you guys offer, are they specifically UPC or do you also offer EAN as well? How does that work?
So if a company comes to GS1 US to license a prefix or a single GTIN, what they would get from GS1 US is a 12-digit number, which is encoded into a UPC barcode. So it is essentially a UPC. Other member organizations around the world, so there are other GS1 offices that service their local regions. They generally issue out EANs, which are 13-digit. But both are recognized, again, globally and can be used in, especially if we're talking Amazon, both are recognized on the Amazon platform.
So, by the way, I've used that personally myself. I've used both with Amazon. They work great. So let's talk a little bit of history. You know, Amazon was kind of a really big proponent of making UPCs in use for its platform. Can you tell us a little bit of the history, like what happened there, why that's important, and kind of how that developed?
Sure. So when they first launched the marketplace many years ago, they didn't really have the GTIN requirements that they have now put in place. But what they're finding is with increased consumer safety for searchability, for just understanding counterfeiting or trying to combat counterfeiting, they realized the importance of that unique identification. Again, that that GTIN, that unique identifier is associated to the product. So it helps really with solving a lot of those business problems. With having that specific GTIN assigned to their products, then they could know that that is the authentic brand owner for the product, or an authentic, or a, I guess, an authorized reseller of the product too, so that they have authorization to sell that GTIN. And it again helps with kind of removing some of the bad actors on their platform, because I think as consumers, we all want to make sure we have the right product We want to make sure it's coming from a trusted brand. And it also helps improve searchability too. So if a brand owner has a unique identifier on their product and has multiple channels that they sell it to, that product can actually help improve, that G10 can help their searchability across all of the shopping experiences that a consumer would want to have when they go searching for that product.
So as Amazon sellers, we're constantly trying to anticipate Amazon's needs, follow the protocols, and then ultimately grow our sales. So this is a necessary step along that process.
Yep.
And so the need for what you guys provide as a service seems to be growing. I actually kind of feel like Amazon is signaling like, hey, if you don't have proof that you're buying directly from GS1, that's going to be a problem. Does that signal seem to be what you're seeing as well? And why is that?
Yeah, so, and they are very clear on their seller support site. They do actually reference that they check all G10s against the GS1 database. So again, they're just really trying to ensure authenticity of the brand. They do a checking to make sure that when that G10 is listed, it is associated to the company that is trying to list that product. If there are authentic resellers that have actually an agreement with the original brand manufacturer, that could be handled through some of the brand registry type of protocols there. But for the most part, they want to ensure that the brand owner is authentic and using a correctly correctly structured identifier and one that can be trusted.
So we're going to start taking some questions from the audience today. If you have any questions as it relates to UPC, GTINs, GS1, today is the podcast to ask those questions. Naseeb says, you're obsessed with FBA when this Q&A is your favorite time of the week. Naseeb, you made my week with that comment. Thank you so much. Got a nice thumbs up here from Nuzhat Hassan. I probably butchered your name. I really apologize. And here we go with our first UPC question coming in from Chesky. Is it worth getting a legit GS1 barcode when one hit from a hijacker can jeopardize it, or rather get cheap aftermarket barcodes in bulk? It's a good question.
It is a good question. And we get faced this a lot of times when members come to us because, again, Amazon does check against the GS1 database to ensure that those G10s that are being listed are authentic from GS1. We do know there are other options out there in the market that may seem more affordable. But again, a brand owner or a seller may run the risk of, going with that route and then not having their listing be approved on the platform. And so what they end up facing is having to go back, identify their product with a GS1 barcode, which and possibly even repackage, relabel, increase time to market. So it can cost them more money in the end when originally they think they're saving money up front. So we see that a lot. And unfortunately, it's a risk that some sellers may take.
So one of the toughest parts about managing your catalog on Amazon is managing data, right? And there are a lot of bad actors who try and take advantage of data. So one of the things that we've seen at My Amazon Guy is sometimes, even if somebody has registered correctly through GS1, somebody, quite frankly, often Chinese, has come in and used those codes already, even though the buyer of those codes went through GS1 and is a good actor and hadn't used them yet. So this might be the one tough question of the podcast today, if you're willing to help me out on it though. And sure. could you weigh in on this? Like what's happening? What should somebody do when they get in that kind of situation?
So it's a great question, and we do know it happens. Unfortunately, there are bad actors out there and try to work the system, think that they have an authentic G10 and associate it to their product, but it is really truly licensed to a different brand owner or the real brand owner. We call those hijacked listings. At least that's how we refer to them. For those particular hijacked listings, we have a process with Amazon to help the authentic GS1 member remove those hijacked listings and get their listing approved. So it's an escalation process that we have in place with Amazon through our GS1 member support team. So if that does happen, that seller can contact our member support team. And a quick reference is info@gsoneus.org, and we can provide that for you. But they could contact us, say, my listing's been hijacked by somebody else, but I do own the identifier. We have a template of the information we'd ask for that seller to provide, and then we send that into Amazon, and then Amazon will remove the hijacked listing and allow the authentic brand owner to list their product.
Sierra, my assistant, I am not seeing the next comments load. I just posted one myself. Are you seeing them on your side? Or bring into the stream here. You see them? Can you help me out and read our next questions? I actually am not seeing any of them.
Yes.
All right. Perfect. Matt, thanks for your help on that.
Yeah. From Matt, can you only buy legit GS1 barcodes from GS1 Direct?
Yes. So GS1, we are a global organization. So again, we have different offices in different regions. So GS1 US, GS1 UK, GS1 Brazil. Each one of the GS1 member organizations are authorized to license the either their company prefix, where you could get bundles of GTINs, or GS1 US also has a single GTIN offering. But we are the only authorized source for those GS1 identifiers.
I just reloaded just to see if I can get my comments back. I think
I was gonna say, I thought you disappeared there for a second.
The podcast is all yours. You're on your own, Michelle. All right, my comments seem to be working now, so I appreciate your patience on that. All right, so can you use UPC barcodes you purchase for a specific one brand for another brand you also own? The two products are from two different categories completely.
So the if you look at how the rules are when you associate a barcode or a GTIN to your product, each GTIN should be identified to that unique product. So if you're asking, can you reuse that? So if you use it on one product, but then also change it and put it on another product, that is not acceptable. But if you have a prefix, which is the ability to create a bundle of GTINs off of that prefix, and you have different brands within that prefix, that is allowed. It's just how you manage the allocation of your GTINs. But you can, just as long as each unique product has a unique GTIN associated and not reused.
Yeah, so no reusing. I think that's pretty abundantly clear. I often would see that in the supplement space where they change like one ingredient and then, you know, keep using it. So it's
not allowed.
Technically not allowed because it's a different product. But the way that Amazon would view that is it would force a new ASIN as well, which then people would lose out on their reviews, which is why you see them make that decision. All right, so let's go to just to clarify though. So on that question, somebody can if they choose to use multiple brands under their same prefix?
Yes, they can.
Okay. All right. So yes, you can. Okay, cool. All right. Cupcake Sprinkle says, we manufacture supplements and have a GS1 company prefix. We've bought barcodes online as we expand products. Should we be registering our UPCs with GS1? So what I think what they're saying is that they've already bought them. Can they register them with you later?
So GS1 US has a tool, it's called Data Hub product, which each member who comes to us and licenses a prefix has access to. It's just a tool that we provide our members for free. And it's really a tool that allows the brand owner to create their GTINs and then also associate some products to it. That is a great way for them to manage it. Their GTINs are then registered in our global registry platform, which is shared globally. But it is, so it's a tool that can share those items. But it's, you know, up to the brand owner if they want to. We would recommend it. But that prefix is already registered and is shared in our database that we share with Amazon that does the validations against that company prefix.
Got it. And just a clarification from our last comment. Sorry to clarify, I meant I have brand prefix, which I think we've answered the question correctly, though. And yeah, you can use multiple brands with that same prefix.
Yep.
Perfect. All right, going to Lucho here. GS1 UK, okay to use with Amazon? Or our company is registered with GS1 UK and uses EAN.
Yes. So again, going back to the identifiers, a UPC or an EAN, both acceptable identifiers and accepted on the Amazon platform.
Got it. And then that email address that you talked about earlier, I'll now put it on screen. Is that the correct email address? Info at gs1.org?
Info at gs1us.org.
Aha. Okay, let me try that one more time.
Everybody info at gs1.
Info.
us.org.
Okay, hold on.
Info@gs1us.org.
Okay, I don't know if I went the right direction or not.
Nope.
All right, Sierra, help me out. Okay, so go ahead and talk one more time, Michelle. What email should they use if they have a hijacked issue?
Info@gs1us.org.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Sorry for the trouble. All right, so we just want to make sure we help people out if they have any hijack listings. All right, so going, Caitlin's giving us the assist here. Thank you, Caitlin. I appreciate it. Caitlin at GS1 here, coming in for the assist. All right, so what else do people typically not understand about the GS1 process, G10 process, you think people need to know about?
So one of the things that we've heard over the years is GS1, coming to GS1 is expensive. We've heard and we've tried to listen. So for many years, most people know GS1 as coming to us and getting bundles of G10. So we've many years we've offered packs of say like 10, 100, 1,000 capacity, and those are under prefix where you get a kind of like a block of G10s, and then you could enumerate in those blocks. We understand Amazon sellers really want to introduce maybe one or two products onto the platform to get started, and the cost may be prohibitive coming to us in those kind of packs. So in November, we launched what we call a single G10 offering, which we find is very, very popular for a lot of the Amazon sellers because it allows a seller to come get a G10 just one at a time or one or two. They are at $30 each with no renewal fees. And it allows the brand owner or the seller to get their product identifier easier, cheaper, hopefully, more affordably, and allows them to list pretty quickly on Amazon, having that GS1 authentic identifier instead of having to, you know, look at the cost for say that bundle. So we've really tried to listen to our members and you know, provide more flexible offerings for them so that they can, you know, list and try to do business quickly and more affordably, hopefully.
So next question comes in about a side topic, transparency. I don't know if you'll be able to speak to this one, and I'll assist if not. Just got an email from Amazon inviting me for a 20-minute talk about it. I know very little bit about it. Is this related at all or traced by the GS1? That is part of the question I actually think you might be able to answer.
So there, I know a little bit about their transparency program. They do offer GS1 identifiers in that process, but that is really more of an Amazon process, and we are not directly involved in that program.
Got it. Thank you for the answer on that. Nuzhat says, very informative. You're very welcome. We appreciate your viewership today. Anybody that's got questions today about anything as it relates to GS1, this is your opportunity to ask those questions. We do not have a long queue of questions today, so here is your opportunity. If it's on the tip of your tongue, it's on your mind, post a comment and ask it away. All right, so Michelle, you guys lowered prices and you're trying to, I assume, improve the service, improve your connection or your communication with your user base. How do you feel like that's going? Do you think that you're able to articulate the need for your service better now than say in the past?
Yeah, I mean, going back to some earlier comments, Amazon has definitely been more have had more requirements on G10 and have been slowly reducing their G10 exemptions and making more and more requirements on those sellers to have an authentic G10. So with that, again, we've just heard sellers and our members say, you know, you need to have some more offerings for us to make it more easier to do business with and an easier point of entry into the market. So that single G10 offering, I think, was really a game changer for us and also for a lot of the Amazon seller community. We've gotten a lot of great positive feedback because it now allows those sellers to have, like I said, a more affordable, but also a GS1 authentic GS1 identifier that they could use on the marketplace. So just we're trying to meet the needs of our members and really be there for them.
So Caitlin, if you want to post a link in the comment section for where somebody can purchase a single UPC or GTIN from GS1, we'd be happy to put that on screen here. Our next question comes in from Nina. We bought a prefix for a pack of 10 products and we need to extend to 100. Can we keep our prefix but upgrade our pack? Or do we need to buy a new prefix and also maintain our current prefix?
So that's a very good question. One thing that we do also ask or have sellers kind of think about is when you come to us, again, if you think you only have 10 products, think about where your business is going to grow. We do know that, you know, you get successful and then you want to add products. Once you get, once you license a 10 capacity prefix, we really can't extend that. So it would mean, you know, coming back and licensing another prefix, whether it's 100 capacity or whatnot. So we always try to encourage sellers to think about how, first of all, one, how many products do they think they have? And then what kind of variations do they have? So if you think you have one T-shirt, do you offer it in multiple colors and sizes? Because that can influence the number of G10s you'll need. But also, where do you think your business is going to grow in the next 2 to 3 years? So unfortunately, we can't like extend a 10 capacity into a 100 capacity. It would be a new license. And a new separate license that you would have to come again.
And so Nina, what I would do from an Amazon perspective is I would not change any of your past products. I would just leave them alone.
Yep.
And then with the new products, they're just gonna have different series on their UPC. It's really not a big deal from an Amazon perspective. This is just a GTIN situation, in my opinion, because it would be nice to have one prefix for everything, right? So
it would be, but then that's when you have license a larger capacity, and some define that either they don't need it or it might be cost prohibitive for them.
Got it. All right, so here we go into our next question here. Cupcake Sprinkles, it sounds like you're saying that if we have a company prefix, that it doesn't matter how we acquire the barcodes because the prefix is registered. Can you confirm? Are there any reoccurring fees?
So I'm kind of focusing on the how we acquired the barcodes. So it's if you've come to GS1 and licensed a company prefix through GS1, you're good. The G10s that are enumerated under that prefix are valid G10s. And so the only thing I could say on recurring fees is when you do license a prefix, so those capacities of 10, 100, 1,000, we do have an annual recurring renewal rate, and that helps keep your prefix active going forward. We do report if prefixes are active or inactive to companies that use our database, similar to Amazon. So that's why, again, when we launched the single G10, we did not put a recurring fee on it because we just wanted to make sure we made it easier and more cost effective for those sellers.
Got it. So one of the topics that frequently comes up for me is brand name changes on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And so I see you smiling, so you might have some thoughts on this one. If I have registered a prefix to a certain brand, you've already said you can have multiple brands and that's not a problem. What if I need to change one code to a different brand name? Is that doable from the GS1 side?
So there's some kind of communication issues here on this. So when you license your prefix, you are supposed to license your prefix with your company entity name. So I am Michelle's Cookies. My company is registered as Michelle's Cookies, LLC. So when I license my prefix, I should license my prefix with Michelle's Cookies. But I might have two or three brands of cookies. I might have Yum Yum Cookies, and I might have, you know, Delicious Cookies, whatever my brand names sure. are. So you're
I'm getting hungry now. It's lunchtime.
Yeah, you're allowed to have multiple brand names associated to your prefix. The way that and this is a kind of a cause of confusion for a lot of sellers. Amazon looks at that company name as your entity name compared to your organization name in Amazon. It's the brand name that sometimes confuses end users or sellers, and they think they have to change their prefix to that brand name. This is where brand registry comes into play. And so if you can manage your brands, and I don't know all the specific requirements into brand registry, because that is definitely an Amazon proprietary solution. But what Amazon has told us is if you can manage your brand names through brand registry, again, you could have multiple brands associated to your company, and you don't need to change your company prefix name to match your brand. So think about some of the large multinational companies that have many brands underneath them. You can't keep changing your prefix name to each brand. So I think
your delineation was extremely helpful. So when somebody buys a prefix, it's the company, not the brand.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's a great delineation. Thank you for doing that.
Yes, because we do see a lot of companies that come to us and keep wanting to change their company prefix name to their brand name. And so we have to coach them that their prefix should stay to their company name, their organization name, and then the brands that they sell need to be managed through brand registry.
Got it. Okay. Quick side note for our audience here. I'm going to share my screen just briefly. We have a video we put out 2 days ago, and it's on all things related to the barcode scanning. And in this video, I talk about how you can scan both a UPC code and an FN SKU code, but you would still need to register with the GS1. And in this particular example in the video, I go into details about, you guys should watch this one after our podcast today. You shouldn't have both present. You should have one or the other. And that's exactly what Amazon likes to see. So just a quick side note on that one. Yep. All right, so let's go to our next question. But do you have any comments on labeling or any insights you can offer on labeling though?
I think your advice was good. Yeah.
Perfect. All right, let me go to the next question here. All right, so Ramond asks, how to truncate associated ASIN with GTIN and create new ASIN for the same product? I actually do not quite understand what he's asking. Do you have any idea?
I don't understand that question either.
All right, Ramond, if you can add some clarity or context to that, we'd appreciate it. We'll give you a go here. AJ says, if one barcode is $30 with no reoccurring annual fee, why wouldn't you just continue to buy single barcodes each time and never pay the annual fees again? Seems like you're ahead after a few years.
That's a business decision that you can make. Again, it's where you want it, how you want to, you know, license your identifiers. So if you only have a handful of identifiers, then a single GTIN might be the best way. And it's a great way to get yourself into the market. One thing I do always caution or have, not caution, but tell people to think about is Amazon your only selling channel. If you are going to launch your product on Amazon and be successful and want to launch your product onto other channels and work with other retail partners or start to provide your products into retail chains, understand what those trading requirements are for the other retail chains because they may need additional identifiers for logistic units like tracking of cartons into their distribution center, that sort of thing, that may require the prefix. So just kind of consider the channels that you're going to sell into. Amazon doesn't require some of the same identifiers and logistical unit tracking that are built on the system of GS1 standards that some of the other retail chains do.
Switching it up here just a tiny bit. So there's some funny things that people sell online sometimes. And, you know, you can buy unicorn meat on Amazon, for example. Right. So because you guys see so many codes registered, you guys, I don't know, do you have like water cooler talk or like, hey, check out this item that's registered? That ever happened?
Oh, yeah. So one of the things, just kind of a funny thing, is as we launch the single G10 offering, we do collect two data points. We collect the brand name and the product description. Some people are very, very creative with their product descriptions. And we've seen some very interesting product descriptions come across, yeah.
Anything that you're willing to share or can share?
No, I'm not allowed to share.
No, I didn't think you would take the bait. I just had to ask. All right. So let me go to the next question here. So Emily says, is there a purchase limit to the single GTINs?
There is not. So if you want to go through the application process, because again, we collect that product description and brand name, it is, you know, you'd have to enter that for each and every G10. So we don't put a limit to it, but I do say, you know, if you look at the cost associated after you get past 10, you may want to consider the prefix, just because it is cheaper to go with the prefix. Yeah, you do end up paying the annual renewal fee, but the prefix does end up being cheaper if you go past 10.
Speaking of numbers questions, is there like an actual number of codes you guys have issued, or any crazy fun number you know about or can share?
Well, I do know, I mean, globally, if you look at the number of identifiers, or what we call beeps, the scans of barcodes each day, you know, we have over 6 billion barcodes that scan daily across the globe. So, and that's not just at the retail space. So the barcodes are also used in many other industries, healthcare, for example, patient safety. So you can beep a barcode that associates that patient to their records and stuff. So GS1 standards and that identifier is used globally, and over 6 billion beeps a day.
6 billion beeps a day. All right. Travis says, what's the value in adding content metadata into purchased GS1 codes? Can that be searched or found somewhere, or is it just for my internal records?
That's a great question, Travis. So again, I mentioned our GS1 Data Hub tool, which is where that data is stored. That data is shared to our global GS1 registry platform. It is a database that collects G10 information from brand owners around the globe, and retailers around the globe can access that data and look for a G10 and verify that that G10 is a valid G10 based on your product description and some other attributes, whether it's an image URL or a net content, some brand name. So that information is shared globally and can be searched globally as well.
AJ says, if we purchased an expired GS1 barcode and want to go to the new GS1 route, are you able to help us have Amazon update our UPC on our items without losing our listing?
So I'm not too sure on, you can't purchase an expired barcode. So I'm not too sure what that means.
There's some vernacular in the space. So like, for example, somebody might go to eBay and buy 1,000 codes, right? So that's what people are calling expired or retired, if you will. You're welcome to correct the record or say why you should or shouldn't do that, and any advice you want to add.
Again, those are not, if you go to a non-GS1 source, they are generally not a GS1 authentic barcode. So somebody may have presumed they were an authentic GS1 or expired or whatever the terminology is. But again, those are not authentic sources of identifiers. And so again, coming to GS1, you know you've got an active or an appropriate GS1 identifier, whether it's a prefix with that enumerating of bundles or the single G10.
So I'll just do one follow-up on this one. So I think what AJ is basically trying to say is like, hey, you know, we didn't know the right way, and now we know the right way, and how do we fix it? So is there a fix here?
So again, you know, we do work with Amazon. If you've actually in the past were able to somehow get your listing done with a non-GS1 authentic identifier, but now you want to update your listing with an appropriate, so you've now come, got your GS1 identifier, created your or updated your product with that G10 on it, we do have a process with Amazon to update your G10s to the appropriate G10. It's a G10 changeover. It's another escalation that we work with Amazon on. It gets a little tricky if you are an FBA participant and have inventory in their warehouse, we could work through it. But it's just one of those things that it's a case-by-case basis if you do need to update your listing from a non-sourced to a GS1 sourced G10.
Travis says, thank you for your answer and information. Appreciate that, Travis. Mm-hmm. And he also asked a follow-up. I've heard varying reports on the value of purchasing US GS1 versus European. Is there a downside as an American seller to purchase Euro GS1s?
So a good question. So again, if you go to a GS1 member organization and license your identifiers through a GS1 member organization, you are getting an authentic identifier, and that is your business decision which one you want to go to. The thing is you get local support when you go to that member organization. So if you do need member support, or if you need the tools, you end up getting the ones out of that local region. So if you go to GS1 UK instead of GS1 US, you would have to work with their member support, work with their tools versus the tools in the GS1 US market. So it's really, where do you want to get your local regional support from?
Perfect. That makes perfect sense. All right, so Michelle, just kind of as an interview today, is there anything else that you would like the audience to know about or think through or hit home today?
I guess, you know, again, thinking about your business, if you are new to being an Amazon seller, going back to why we actually launched the single G10, we wanted to make it easy for you to enter the market. And if you're just starting out and don't know which identifier to use, and if you only have one or two products, that single G10 is usually a good way to start. Helps you do it with a kind of an affordable option. If you expand your business, you could always come back and get a prefix. So it's okay if you have multiple identifiers with GS1. But we just wanted to, again, make it easier make it more affordable. The thing we do get, and I just thought of this.
Go ahead.
If you come to GS1 and license your identifier, some people are super excited and they're like, I've got my identifier, I'm going to go immediately and start to list my product. I told you, Amazon does a validation against the GS1 database.
Is there like a time delay or something?
That's why I'm bringing it up. Amazon is so huge, it takes them several days for that information to get through their system. So what we find is sometimes a member will come to us, get their identifier, and like within 24 hours, try to list on the Amazon platform and find that their listing is blocked and they feel like, I did something wrong. You know, I got my GS1 identifier, what did I do wrong? It takes usually about 3 days for that information to get through their system. But in the meantime, what you can get is, as you become a member, you can, in that tools that we provide, you can download your certificate of identifier ownership. So you could get either your single G10 certificate or your prefix certificate. You would just have to submit that to seller support, and that would help unblock your listing if it doesn't go through after that validation. So just another tip that we sometimes hear.
And is there a particular amount of days you would suggest to wait, though, in general, or?
I'm going to say generally, there's no exact date. Sometimes about the 2 to 3 business days.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Permission to get fed into their system.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah, with trademarks, it's like 5 days with the USPTO. So 2 or 3 with the GS1, that's quicker.
Yeah. But that certificate can usually help push it through a little, you know, if it's in that window.
Well, Michelle, I appreciate you coming on the My Amazon Guy podcast today. It was a pleasure to ask some of these tough situation questions. People are trying to do the right thing. You know, you guys are out there trying to help prop up the correct methodologies for barcodes so people can sell on Amazon. So I really appreciate coming on the My Amazon Guy podcast.
Of course. Glad to help out. Anything to make it easier and more simple for people to understand.
And so if somebody wants to purchase a GS1 code today, where do they go?
They can go to our website, gs1us.org. on that front page, there is a top banner that talks about get your barcodes, learn more. There's a little orange button there. You can click on that and it'll take you through the process.
Perfect. Well, we really appreciate that. We'll see if we can pull this up on screen briefly here. So it's currently loading. Might take a second. Well, gs1us.org. Is that the right website?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Well, not working right now, but there we go.
There it is. Right there at the top, see where it says GS1 barcodes are accepted? That learn more button takes you right into the page that helps you make your decision on if you need a single or if you need a bundle. So There's an estimator in there that helps you if you don't know and you have maybe product variations. It's a tool that you could go through to help you figure out how many you may need if you do have product variations. And it takes you right through the application process. It's just like any other e-commerce application. You ask for your company name, information, payment terms, and we issue the identifiers in near real time. So you should get an email right away with your identifiers and you access to Data Hub, and you are on your way within minutes.
Well, perfect. I appreciate that context. And again, thanks for coming on. That is our My Amazon Guy podcast today. Next Friday, we'll go back to our normal scheduled routine, noon at EST. And then on Tuesday, we are going to have Kevin Sanderson come on. And on our Tuesday podcast, that'll be at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Kevin's going to talk about all things international. So you won't want to miss it. If you have any international questions, Europe, Canada, you name it, Kevin Sanderson's the guy next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. AJ says, thanks for taking time to answer all these questions. And thank you for coming in and viewing, as well as Michelle being our guest today. That's the My Amazon Guy podcast. And I'm the founder of My Amazon Guy.